Talk to us, calling the meeting to order. If you do have a cell phone, if you would please put it on silent or turn it off because of the audio recording of our board proceedings. Okay, I think we're ready, board. Are you ready? Okay. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this 25th day of September 2012. I would ask the audience to join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good. Thank you. Greetings to everyone. It's a joy to see a few more faces in the audience as we go through our board agenda and so forth. Item number three on the agenda is public comments. This is comments for the public to address us on items on today's agenda. I do have four slips here, and what we've done in the past, if you can't wait until we actually get to the discussion regarding TIF under the additional items. I could take you now. Otherwise, we'll give you an opportunity to comment when we are going to address that. I think it's kind of keeps everything in a nice flow if you talk about the same topic at that time. But if there's anyone else that wants to talk about comments on any other item other than the item regarding the TIF funding, okay. Then we'll move on to consideration of the minutes of 9-18-12.
Move approval.
Second.
Been moved and second the approval of the minutes of 9-18-12. Is there any additions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Next is item five, consideration of personnel action. We have several here. No change that I've noted.
Move approval of the personnel actions.
Second.
Been moved and second the approval of the personnel action as submitted. Hearing no comments, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Personnel action is approved. And then item six, consideration of claims. Reviewed those. Didn't see anything that came to light that wanted to pull, so any comments?
We can keep running at about 30% of budget. That's not a bad thing.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion.
I'll move approval of the claims list.
Second.
Been moved and second the approval of the claims list. Hearing no further comments, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Claims are approved. On the consent agenda, this is for the audience's sake. We need to add road closure number 1324. And through 1328, road closures 1324 through 1328 to the consent agenda. All other items are as listed.
I'll move approval of the consent agenda with the noted changes.
And I'll second it with noted changes.
It's been moved and second to approval of the consent agenda with noted changes. Roll call. Toot.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton. Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. Okay. Then as we move on down the line, I believe we come to item 8, public hearing, none. And then item 9, under additional items, consideration of economic development process and policy. Again, Rick Sanders, supervisor, and Jessica Reynolds, assistant county attorney. Jessica, if you would come forth again, please, as well.
Yeah, I'll start as Jessica's sitting down. This has been an interesting process, to say the least. I'll just take us back over a year ago. This board approved TIF in Story County. We became one of, I want to say it's 27, 28 counties in Iowa that are utilizing TIF. At that point, we approved three projects. We approved Dakin's Lake, which has been on the drawing board since the late 60s, and we finally found a way to make it go, and I think it's going to be positive for Northeast Story County and hopefully all of Story County. We approved the bike lanes on on Country Club headed out of Nevada, utilizing the two wind towers in the Nevada School District to do that. And we approved the quarter mile of road paving on 590th, where Vetter Construction went in and used the Vetter, new Vetter equipment site to do that. What we didn't have when we approved it a year ago, and frankly what no county in Iowa has currently, is any policies and procedures restricting the use of TIF more so than outlined by the state. And at that point, when the three of us discussed it, we didn't feel like that was a good way to proceed. And so we asked then our civil attorney, Steve Owen, to work with us to craft a document. Well, here we are a year later, and through a series of events, it did not get crafted in the spring like it should have. So when Jessica joined us, one of the first things that I asked that she have on her plate is assisting me in crafting what is a restrictive document, something that limits the way we can use TIF, the way TIF is operated, which we don't currently have. And so, you know, we looked a lot of places to find things and had trouble coming up with anything to really base our document off of. We dealt with Bob Johnston, who is the state's foremost expert on TIF in crafting this, and came up with what we feel like is a straightforward laying out of the process, procedure, and what this board will and will not consider for use of TIF dollars. And that's what you have in front of you. It's what you had in front of you last week. There is one update to this, and it is on the second page under Step 2, under Economic Development Process, and it's the last sentence. It is just that this board recognizes the importance of citizen input, and we're going to make sure that we allow plenty of opportunity, time, and information for citizens to weigh in on every single project that we might talk about doing. So, Jessica, I'll turn it to you, and if you have anything to add or correct or anything in that.
Thank you. Good morning to the board.
Morning.
As Mr. Sanders said, there have been some changes to the document as proposed that differs from last week. Under Step 2, as he pointed out, under Economic Development Project Process, the third sentence discusses the auditor's preparation of a report showing the status of all the TIF projects, the monies expended, and the monies owing on current projects, so that as the board is evaluating any potential projects, you'll be able to see what projects, what the status is of each project, how much has been spent, how much is still owing. And then, as Mr. Sanders stated, that last sentence also was added. And that proposal includes a posting of the applications on the county website so that citizens can have input. That's something that the board can discuss, whether or not that's the venue that they'd like to have that placed on. But I know Mr. Sanders' concern was making sure that the public knew what projects were being considered and would have an opportunity to be heard on those projects so that their input could be taken into account before the board made decisions. Those are the only additions to the economic development process and policies after last week.
May I ask, Rick, if you would be kind enough to restate that change as far as the public notification process and the addition there?
I'll read the whole thing that Jessica just laid out. What is new that you guys did not see last week is under Step 2 evaluation, starts with, as part of the evaluation process, the auditor shall prepare a report showing the status of all TIF projects, monies expended, monies owing on current TIF projects so that the Board of Supervisors can evaluate the funds available for all proposed projects. I'll remind you that this document has a mechanism that says no board could use more than 50% of available TIF dollars. So it's important that we get the analysis in there. Second part of that was, further, the Board of Supervisors recognizes the importance of citizen input on proposed projects and will post all applications for projects on its website prior to decisions on the project so that the public may review the applications and prepare for any comment at the weekly meeting of the Board of Supervisors. Again, what we're trying to do is lay out a process here that is open and transparent. Ultimately, You know, there were proposals that said, well, maybe the board should not be the decision makers. You know what? That's what we were elected for, is to be the decision makers. But we need as much input. We need it to be as transparent as possible. And that's what I think, Jessica, in amending these two areas, tried to reflect.
Thank you. Thank you for repeating that. And I do think that's a very important statement, not only a statement, but acknowledgement of why we see this as so important, that there is an opportunity for public notification and help guide us through the decision-making process, that, you know, there's going to be differences of opinion as we, you know, attempt to evaluate, the worthiness of projects and so forth. But through that public process, I think we will be able to render a decision where things have been vetted so that people will feel like voices have been heard regarding that. So I do appreciate both of you working on bringing forth that clarification, and I think it is very, very important. Is there other questions or concerns?
I just want to make sure that we, and whether it needs to be in the policy or not, I think is something that we can decide, but I just want to make sure that we take the necessary steps to make sure everybody is notified. We've been accused on more than one occasion during this process, during the confined animal feeding operation process, that we didn't take the necessary steps to notify the people that needed to be notified. So whether it needs to be in here, if we need to send a letter to the school district, the president of the school board in the school district this is going to affect, do we need to notify, send letters to the township trustees? Because I think that's where we get the pushback from, is that we're not taking the time and the effort to make sure those people are notified. So whether that's something that needs to be spelled out in here, that, you know, that the board will notify the affected school district, the board of directors for the affected school district and township trustees in the affected townships. I think that way, you know, if that's added, I think we've taken that step, and when we're no longer sitting here, I think the next board will have that.
Yeah. And I think that would be really, really valuable. I'll remind you that when we went through the TIF process over a year ago, we did in fact do that. We had a meeting in this room. We had a school system that chose not to be here. They were invited. Actually, I spoke with the superintendent of Colonesco Schools yesterday, and he confirmed, I went through this all with him. I asked him if he had any questions or concern. He confirmed that Colonesco's biggest problem right now is they need more students. With the state funding formulas that caps the amount of dollars you can spend per student, it changes the entire dynamic of the way things work. This entire document, I believe, recognizes and the reality of school funding, and that we want to hold our schools harmless through this process. In fact, we're trying to do the opposite. We're trying to help our schools with anything we do. So, I would be really open as part of the notification process to make sure that we, I'd probably by letter notify any of the taxing entities in the area where this TIF project would occur, or any TIF project would occur. Jessica, what do you think of that?
I think the concept of taxing entities is a definite, more direct point that probably needs to be identified there, because, you know, they're the ones that are going to probably, if there's any major questions or issues, we will know what impact this may have as we move forward. So I think that would be a good clarification.
It's DMAC as well.
Right. I mean, exactly.
The township is the local school, and the DMAC, yeah.
Right.
And would you want to notify, this is something you can discuss, notify each school district with each project application, or would you want to notify them every time you're approving TIF debt on your December 1st deadline? That's just something to consider for how you'd like me as your counsel to write that in the document.
I think if we do it by the December 1st deadline to certify the debt, then they've been notified, and they can't make the claim that they weren't, and that certainly wasn't the intent of any this board on any right. any of these matters that people weren't notified.
And I believe Shelley can speak to this, but I think that we have the provision that if a local citizen wants to be notified, there is a process that they could go through the auditor's office or Michelle, and then that notice can be sent out to them as well. So I do think that's a very simple matter of just getting the request and the name and adding that to the list. OK,
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody, as we sit here today, we don't have any kind of policies or procedure. I mean, no county has any kind of policies or procedure. Potentially, it could be a willy-nilly process in trying to figure out TIF, and this just attempts to address that and be straightforward about what we're trying to do.
Well, Rick, I can say beyond a doubt this will be a topic that will be addressed before the Iowa Association of Counties. TIF is one of those areas that we have been working with state legislators regarding some of the proposed discussion and changes, and I think this is certainly a type of change and a type of discussion that other counties may want to look to us or are just any area that help enhance and clarifies what counties can and cannot do. Other counties may not want to do exactly what we're doing, but at least they will understand the process that we went through and or are going through and whether or not it's something that they'd want to, you know, weigh in on. So I think that will be excellent. So get ready for the first of the year. You'll probably be on tap to be part of the presentation, and Jessica also. Okay. All right, so any other questions before I hear from members of the public that regarding this topic, and then we'll discuss further what stance we want to take on the policy. Okay, first of all, I have Arden Greiner, and welcome again. Again, just state your name and, you know, the community in which you reside. You don't have to have the exact address and all that, you know.
These are actually the first 2 pages.
Yep.
The same hand.
Same as last week.
Okay. Four more.
Okay. Okay.
Documentation. This is a busy time of year in harvest, and this stuff is actually stuff I put together last winter. So I just grabbed it quick just to have some hard copy of something. We'll just glance through the pink stuff. Abuses of TIF are not minor exceptions. They are common and often egregious. TIF started in California, and they don't do it there anymore. It's a big problem. The down at the bottom, the third problem is TIF district. When the TIF district covers parts of more than one school district, it gets real messy. So the solution is you allow no TIF area to span the school district border. If the project spills into a second school district, you should set up two separate areas. Third thing, TIF goes wrong when it's used to pirate tax base from neighboring communities. This is not economic development. Basically, in the case we're talking about, I think you guys are talking about using this money anywhere in the county, but yet it's all coming from the Cole and Esco area. Third page, what cities do, build infrastructure is what we're talking about. That's what you're talking about using this money for, is building up infrastructures. You don't want to build speculative buildings. Well, build infrastructure, that's what cities and counties do. Whether TIF is available or not, you can still build roads. You don't need TIF to build roads and infrastructure. The next page, cities should prevent from using TIF for purposes that have nothing to do with economic development and simply shift taxes to non-city taxpayers. The next page. TIF forces higher property taxes on everyone throughout the school district and the county to offset revenues lost through TIF. But the cities using TIF heavily enjoy lower property tax rates because they capture the school and county's tax shares. In effect, TIF becomes a mechanism for cities to shift the cost of streets and other services from city taxpayers to the taxpayers of rural areas and neighboring cities. And if you take this tax money from these 123 wind towers and spend it all over the county, that's basically what you're doing, is you're shifting the cost. And that's it.
Okay.
If you have time, I'd appreciate it if you read it more.
Yeah, just the last point is where, you know, Arden, you and I find a lot of areas in common. We go along pretty well, and then we get a couple areas where we don't. I view what you're referring to here as a city that uses TIF to pull dollars from taxpayers that don't pay any money into the city as entirely different than what we're talking about here. We're talking about Story County and Story County citizens. You already pay taxes to Story County. There has been not $1 diverted from anything, and in fact, this document that we're talking about here greatly limits what dollars could be used on. So, I mean, I think this guy is a. I've read his stuff for the last couple of years. He's a pretty good writer, but what he refers to in these documents that you gave us is exactly what Jessica and I were trying to get to in this policy document that we put together and try to limit the potential negative impacts of TIF. Because let's just be clear, TIF is a tool. TIF is neither positive nor negative. How TIF is used can be positive or negative. TIF is a tool, and if it's used properly, it absolutely can have some positive impacts. If it's used improperly, if it's used like they used it over in Coralville to draw a company from from Iowa City out to Coralville, that is completely ludicrous. It's an improper use of the tool, but it doesn't make the tool evil. So I appreciate everything you've laid out here. I've read it all before. I'll read it all again. But there are some differences in what this gentleman lays out and what we're talking about doing here.
I'm not following what you're saying. If these funds were not TIFed, 33% of this would go to the general fund of the county. So then how can you say that this doesn't divert any taxes? I'm not following exactly what you're saying either. So,
Well, we thank you again for you have presented, again, some additional information for us to look at. We certainly will take a look at that as we move forward through this process.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
I'm glad you're doing this process to put some constraints on this. I'm glad you're talking about notifying the community school district, township trustees, and the communities, the mayors and the communities, I think should be added on to that, too. A good idea on the notification of people. But December 1st is the time when the taxes are it's a done deal on December 1st. They need to be notified when the applications come in.
That is correct. That is correct.
Much earlier time.
Right.
Just general stuff. This is the tax House Study Bill 450 that was introduced in the legislature this year to limit TIF activity or how it's handled. It went nowhere because the two houses and legislature can't agree on anything this year.
On anything,
year. Right. But this is trying to stop the abuses of TIF, is the way I understand it. So there are a lot of opportunities here for bad things to happen.
Right, but just to underscore, that did not pass. So right now, we're operating kind of in this vacuum.
Yeah,
where
that's
there's not much.
Why we need to restrict this. And once again, this is the first time the county has done a countywide TIF district. So all the TIF districts from before this were just in a town. You know, a bridge for Story City and a business park. So we weren't worried about shifting money across school district lines and across the county. Lost my train of thought on that. But anyhow, the way TIF was supposed to work is if you say you had to build a new bridge that would bring in a new Walmart. You're supposed to be able to build the tax, the pack. You know, eventually, it's supposed to overwhelmingly build the tax base of the community. So you got to be careful on how it's used. I just paid my property taxes, and they're 8% higher than last year. Just thought I'd throw that out and remind you guys to pay your property taxes this week. On the TIF project, I think borrowing future tax receipts for current needs will lead us in the wrong direction, like the federal government. I was disappointed 2 or 3 years ago when the Story County issued bonds for road maintenance for the first time ever, basically spending the money up front and rolling the cost back. I don't know how many years they were, 10 or 15, 20. I think borrowing the future tax receipts from the wind towers in the Colonesco area and spending it on speculative economic development or common infrastructure would definitely lead to higher taxes in the future. Without TIF, the county would receive 33% of these funds that they could spend on infrastructure in the normal course of business. The future tax receipts for the wind turbines is estimated to be $1,870,722 per year, or over $36 million in the 20 years that you guys can borrow the money for. I feel to spend all this money today, possibly foolishly, and expect someone else to pay the bonds off in the future is selfish and irresponsible. I called about one dozen property owners Sunday night that have turbines on their property, and every one of them said that they had understood when they'd signed the contract that the tax base and the tax monies would stay in the local area. Now, that's important. And I'm very encouraged to see, I only called about a dozen people and talked to a couple more, and we've got over six, seven people here today. And that's another problem I had last week, is you guys said you hadn't had much interest in this. Well, I called 12 people and got six to be here today in the middle of harvest season. So I think the facts are on our side, but I don't think anybody knows what's going on. And I think if we get the word out there, I think we can control this. But the horse is out of the barn now. You went ahead and formed the Tax Increment Financing District last fall without contacting the school president, me, and others. These articles I give you, tell you why the monies need to stay at home, not crossing school district lines. What monies are spent need to stay in the Colonesco area. The policies that you are building today can be changed any time in the future, but they are a step in the right direction. Only spending half of the available funds is a start. Because you, as supervisors, have the power to spend these funds in any manner you see fit, and you personally sit on three different economic development boards in other parts of the county, an obvious conflict of interest, a citizens board, probably from the Colonesco area, should be able to choose which projects receive these funds. This would ease concerns of the public that these TIF funds are just a supervisor's slush fund. Last week when I was here, you were saying that you were stealing our tax money, Mr. Sanders said that it was not our tax money. And Mr. Clinton said there had been not much interest in this matter. This is why I started contacting a dozen landowners. I plan on contacting many more landowners, business owners, and property taxpayers in the Cole, Zering, and McCallsburg areas as soon as harvest slows down. I know they will be very interested, and I think that this is our area's tax money. Mr. Sanders, on your own website, there's a video clip from August 19th, 2008, 2 years before you became a supervisor, in this room asking the supervisors how much revenue the FPL, Florida Power and Light Wind Program, project would bring into the county and what plans they had for the money. What were your interests in the money that day? That was over 4 years ago, 2 years before you became a supervisor. You were interested in this money at that time. You were on the executive committee. I didn't realize that, of the Ames Economic Development Commission, which also represents Huxley and Story City. On their website, it appears they have about 10 staff members. The people of the Colonesco area cannot compete, and they don't have such a well-funded and staffed organization like that. And it appears too that they have they've got five funds now. The last one is over $2 million. I think they're self-funded. I mean, I think it's okay for economic development from private funds. And these people, I think they deserve, they earn a return on their investment, don't they? So I think as a private investment, it's a good deal. But when you start using public funds where you're not worried about a return to the investors and somebody in the future has to pay off these debts, I mean, you're running up debt, where these people in the Economic Development Commission in Ames, they've got cash money that people have given them. Give me a second. Mr. Sanders, again, you have said more than once to me, and I appreciate the time you've given me, that if you could take these TIF funds somewhere else in the county and bring in a company that employs 300 people and 10 of those live in Colo, that is economic development. You also give the example, if your barber in Ames lives in Colo, that's economic development. Well, we don't see it that way. it seems that that is your intention with these funds, because you bring up this story over and over again, that you're going to take the money somewhere else and bring in a big company. The people of the Cole-Nesco area want the infrastructure built in our communities. They don't want this money spent somewhere else and that we just kind of get the crumbs off of the economic activity. The Cole-Nesco area, they deserve the fruits from the economic activity in their area. This was our economic development, you know, the wind turbines. And if we can't, I mean, if every time there's economic growth in the county, you guys tiff it, who pays the bills? You know, who pays the bills for the roads and the staff here at the county? The money has to flow through the normal channels. I don't believe, personally, that the county should be getting into economic development with tax funds. Mr. Sanders, you've been way out in front pushing this TIF district. I think there's no doubt about that. I asked Mr. Clinton and Mr. Toot to slow down this process so people have time for input and that it can be done right. Also, I got to remind you that you're representing all the people, even the people in the Cole-Nesco School District. So a friend of mine uptown this weekend said the only power a politician has is to give away other people's money. His father died 30 years ago. That was his saying. It's the only power politicians have is to give away other people's money. And that seems to be what you guys are doing here. And you have the absolute power to do whatever you want with these funds now that you've created this TIF district. And I got to remind you that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Arden, what is it in this document? What is it in this document that does any of those things that you're laying out? This is a restrictive document. You know, you make a lot of really interesting accusations. You purport to know our intentions when, in fact,
absolutely.
Told
that story twice.
And I'll tell that story again today.
Rick.
What I'm telling you is that economic development for the good of Story County is good for Story County. And if there was a company that wanted to locate somewhere in Story County that was going to bring multiple, let's use 300 jobs to Story County, and 30 of those people ended up living in the Cole-Nesco School District with their families, and those kids went to Cole-Nesco, you know how great a positive impact that's going to have on the entire school district?
Not as well as if the money was spent in the Cole-Nesco District.
Absolutely.
And the infrastructure was built
I don't
there.
Disagree with that. If a company wanted to locate
in
Cole-Nesco, that's perfect.
Our side of the county, not
super.
The jobs just in your side of the county.
My side of the county, your side of the county, it's one county, Arden.
What was your
Mr. Greiner, Mr. Sanders.
Four years ago, you were
Mr. Sanders, Mr. Greiner, as a chair, I'm going to ask that we, you know, not go back and forth regarding this. We've given you an opportunity to share your comments, which we very much appreciate. I think, you know, you are making some assertions about what our intent basically is, and we just frankly disagree with you. You fundamentally have the right to your point of view. It is our job to communicate not only to you, but to citizens and the taxpayers of Story County as to the decision-making process and how we plan to utilize funding to improve the quality of life for not only Cole-Nesco, but for the entire residents of Story County. And I think as a board, we're going to try to use that due diligence to the best of our ability, understanding that there's going to be people who are not going to be in 100% agreement no matter which direction we take. But the bottom line is we're going to try to do everything in our power to make sure that we're not doing some backdoor behind the wall type of a decision making where the public is not aware, that the public doesn't have an opportunity to share their views as you're sharing. And we appreciate the opportunity that you're taking, but I too would question very strongly some of the assertions that are basically made. So, but naturally, you have the right to agree to disagree with us. And I feel that we have gone overboard in the way that we have allowed for this discussion to take place in the public light. But I think when it gets back and forth between, you know, your theory and Mr. Sanders' theory, I really don't think that this is probably the venue, you know, for us to deal with that. But that's just my opinion. Okay?
I was interrupted during my statement. And the only assertion I made here was that Rick has several times told me the story that if he could take this money over there, and he just repeated that story. So why are you saying that you're not agreeing with my assertions? What I said was not an assertion. That you agree that's what you're thinking.
I'm not going to take the time to kind
don't
of go
agree.
Through.
That's what I'm thinking. I agree that positive economic development can happen in many forms and fashions. And I told Arden, you're an interesting guy. I'm going to give you that. By the way, I just want to ask a question because I've been thinking about this. When you sat in my office yesterday and told me you were going to bury me, is that a threat? I mean, I just want to know if I need to up my life insurance policy, okay. Let me know.
Whenever I'm in front of you, I feel like I'm in front of a steamroller. I mean, you don't hear. You don't listen. The only way I think I can direct your attention, is to have a show of people coming. And I meant it as a... as a kind gesture that you're not hearing, you're not listening, you're not...
Because I disagree with you, I'm not hearing.
Well, so how do I get your attention that...
By threatening
you? You're awful.
Please, both of you.
I apologize. Let's
move forward. Anything else that you have, Arden, that you'd like to share at this time?
That covers it all.
Okay, thank you again. Okay. Patricia, is it Anderson or Allison? Anderson, okay. Thank you.
The standing, but...
okay. We tried to
Accommodate everyone and make it more comfortable that way.
I don't know if I feel threatened or what coming up here, but I have quite a few notes, and I started with nothing to say, and this is what I ended up with.
Very good.
I'm first here because I'm an educator. I had the combat zone middle school for 15 years, and I loved them. And I had the elementary for 8 years. And I raised two boys in Story County. I'm also here as a landowner, concerned about my taxes. My husband's in the field, so thus I'm here. I'm a windmill lessee. So I attended all the meetings on the windmill. I even attended meetings on cell towers for phones because I'm concerned about rural area. To be honest, I would not have been a windmill lessee. We sit high on a hill outside of Zering, the most beautiful view of the rolling countryside, the trees. And my two sons couldn't believe it when we signed on. But I'm practical. If I have to look at my neighbor's windmills, I might as well have them, too. And I attended so many meetings. One was at Story County down at the fairgrounds where we had a stand outside. There wasn't even enough room to get in. And I guess it wasn't in writing, but I assumed the money stayed in Colonesco District. And I thought, wow, this is our development. This is our Sun Strand. This is what's going for us. We can't get big businesses into a small town, which I understand why. I mean, you got to be honest. So I was really, really impressed with that. But I think it was laid out different at the time, and I never heard of this TIF or whatever before then. I also think we need a voice in this economic development. I appreciate all your voices and your concerns, but it's three of you. And I think if we could have a committee, now you're on an economic development committee, I just learned. And I think maybe it wouldn't hurt to have another development committee for the TIF to just visit with you guys and recommend with you and look at it from like a taxpayer, an educator, a leasee, all the different ways we could with so many different people. And I found, like, in education, the more input you have, the better. And the wider your view, the better. Otherwise, we seem to have goggles on and look straight down. I applaud you for talking to the superintendent. But as an educator and a parent and a wife of a husband that served on the Colonesco School Board, it doesn't get passed down to the rest of them. And I really like your idea of notifying the mayors and the trustees and other people, because your intentions are great, but it doesn't go below that. And that makes a big difference. Also, with our economic development, I think it was mentioned in here, Dakin's Lake was started in the 60s, and it's taken us this long to finally get some county money into, and we appreciate it, Northeast Troy County, because Zering is hurting, and this will help us a lot, too. And this is, again, our economic development. Ankeny has grown so much, and I know a person in Ames that's moved in that chose to live in Ankeny because of his wife wanted more of a metro area. And I think one thing from looking at Ankeny and having a son that teaches at Ankeny, that Ankeny has developed due to private money, not especially Polk County money, because it's going to be hard getting it out of Des Moines, but private money. You have Dennis Abaugh, and you have the other Dennis there, Elwell. And they have, like them or not, they have put a lot of private money into Ames, into Ankeny, where I think Ames has missed out on the boat. I mean, the boat has sailed, and they've got all the places there. You can put a Colson, but that's another thing, Ames. But I just think private money makes a big difference, along with the county money, too. Pretty much that's what I have to say. Respect your opinions. I think you need more opinions, which you seem like you're trying to get. I think it needs more formal people that are from the communities that can go back to the community and talk to people in the community, because talking and communication is the main thing between getting a job done. And I appreciate your time.
Great.
Any questions or anything?
No, but I'll just comment, and I don't know if we can say it's directly tied to the economic downturn that we've experienced in the last 3 to 4 years, but we all know years ago that most of the economic development, as far as attracting businesses and so forth, were handled primarily between the cities and the development boards that they had in place, whether it was Nevada, Story City, or Ames. And one of the things that was available back then was leveraging dollars from the federal government, that because of that was coming down. Well, as a change that have taken place over the last few years, and so-called earmarked dollars, if you want to use that term, is no longer available per se. In order to attract dollars to a region, now dollars are more regionalized rather than localized. And in order to attract dollars regionally, you have to bring partners to the table. And public-private partnerships is the norm in today's world in order to be able to expand and grow a community and improve the tax base. I serve on the National Association of Counties steering committees, and I'm in Washington, D.C. every March, and I have an opportunity to visit with all of our congressional delegations and to meet with the various stakeholders, whether we're talking economic development or what have you. And we're seeing that this is almost essential. And when we can come in with a unified front showing that there is a public-private partnership that is investing in the quality of life in the community, we have a better chance of attracting what resources, what dollars are available, even though they're no longer called earmarked dollars. Now, one of the things that Supervisor Sanders has done, and Supervisor Toot for that matter, we're at the table, but we have not allocated dollars towards a lot of those projects. And that's one of the things that we have been very careful about as to how county taxpayer dollars are used for some of those. Now, that's not to say that the future may be that we won't be able to allocate some dollars, because there may be some projects, particularly if it involves, in my opinion, strictly my opinion, infrastructure, which I consider that to be the connective artery. Say you have a major industrial plant outside of an incorporated area or within the 2 mile area that is a feeder for all of the surrounding areas of Story County. That may be something they want to come to the county for and talk about how we can partner in that process. Normally when a development comes in, most cities have usually asked the businesses to provide the infrastructure or needs. But there again, that is becoming even more challenging in this day and age. So right now, what we as a board are trying to do is to make sure that we are players in the game, that we are there to understand the process, The worst thing that can happen is that you bring in, and I'll use the DuPont Dinesco as an example, company, and then 4 or 5 years or a few years, they come to the county and say, oh, the traffic, we need more infrastructure, the roads need to be expanded, the bridges. We were never at the table when they started talking about it, so it's a little late now to come out and then expect us to be able to plan long range, because you can't just say pull dollars out on a given year. These have to be planned over a period of years. And so I think that this board certainly has an interest in economic development in our county, and we want to make sure, though, that it is really addressing the core needs of the citizens of Story County. So that citizen input is very important to us. And matter of fact, I'm glad that we have Rick on the Ames and we have Paul on Nevada. And we would, if any other outlying community had a project and they wanted supervisors' involvement or input, the three of us would welcome that opportunity to come and sit and be part of the discussion, hear more about what's happening, look at what resources, if any, the county could play in that project. But I think that is where we are today. We can only deal with the information that is currently presented to us. So not to get in an argument over a conflict of interest, I think this is exactly where our interests lie. I think as a board of supervisors, as a county using public dollars, we need to also be players in looking at how we can improve the quality of life and improve the tax base. Because having it all fall on local property owners is meaning a diminishing service as we all age a little bit and see deterioration in many areas. So I think your suggestion, as well as Mr. Griner's suggestion, has certainly not fallen on deaf ears. We're listening carefully to what you guys are having to say. And as we move forward, we hope that maybe some of these will be implemented. But will they all be to your satisfaction? I doubt it. But at least this isn't a start. And I want to thank you as well as all the others that will be coming up and speaking a little bit later.
Does Story County have an economic development commission from all parts?
Yes.
It's called the Economic Development Group, but yes.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And a fairly active group. And I wanted to thank you for coming up and talking. And I appreciate your excitement about Dakin's Lake. I know I share that excitement. I know a lot of people feel that way. And I just want to underscore that that is a project that could have never gotten done without TIFing those wind farms. There was not a mechanism to get it done. And I hope that many people feel that that's an appropriate windfall from some of those wind towers.
Well, I think our area, we're being taxed. And the county, to the fault of the trustees, who does not know where the money is going. Like, we're redoing the mausoleum in Zering, and there is not another mausoleum in the state like it. Holds 200 people. 60-some are buried there now. And they're probably getting close to $1,400,000, $1,600,000. I don't know. In renovating it, that has to be done. And maybe this would be communication from more people in the area to come and let you know where money is needed in the area. Thank you, and as an educator, I thank you for
your
concern.
Thank you. All right. Next, I believe, is David Obrecht. Please come forward. Thank you.
David Obrecht from Zering. I'm a landowner with wind turbines, and I agree that when we were presented with the option of getting the wind turbines, that it would be a big boost for Northeast Story County. And I pushed that, a lot of people said, well, because there were several neighbors that said, well, we don't want those things. But I said, well, it would be a big boost for our tax base. But, a lot of people could have said no. And if enough people would have, they wouldn't have built them. They wouldn't have. They would have took them somewhere else, just like I wrote them a letter and said, if you don't have these landowners agreeing to build them, you're going to have wind turbines sitting in a parking lot. So saying it's not our taxes either, Mr. Sanders, is not very...
Yeah, that wasn't accurate, but that's fine.
And Mr. Toot did cover this as far as the notifying the proper boards in advance, so that was one of the points I wanted to bring up.
And as far as the Mr. Clinton, you mentioned something about the private and public funds going together. Is that something that this is going to be like with this economic development or the TIF area, you know, using this? Or is that not what you're talking about?
We don't know where this is going right now in terms. We can only talk about the dollars and the projects that will come to us for evaluation that will be used. And I think if you saw what was proposed in here, it's not really earmarked for our private business or, you know, from that standpoint, it's more earmarked towards the infrastructure, connecting trails, other types of things, which could be whether it's improvement in parks and roadways, things that not only is going to help revitalize the community, but it's going to keep young people wanting to stay here in our county and not move to elsewhere. I think those are the kinds of things that we need to be more global in terms of what will it take, what are the amenities that it will take to enhance the quality of life in our county that will keep young people wanting to live here, and those who move away will someday want to come back. So, yes, so I can't really say that that's what I'm talking about, but what we're saying is that we're at the table now in the discussion, and then we're being asked, is there any leveraging? Is there opportunities for dollars? And again, through the current economic development group that is in place, if a project was brought to this group, a portion of dollars that the county puts towards this might go towards some of this. But that is a mechanism right now. I think we're right at 100,000 right now is what's in that one economic development pot. Whether that will be increased over the next year or two will be determined each budget cycle as if we have the capacity to do so.
But let's be clear, those are not TIF dollars.
Not TIF dollars, not at all.
The monies we currently have in economic development for the county are not TIF dollars. And, in fact, if this policies and procedures document were to pass, it specifically prohibits any kind of public-private partnership or anything like that with TIF dollars.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Good point. Thank you for the clarifications.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I guess I'm not too big wanting to borrow, you know, use all the money to borrow against it for, you know, would that be you'd issue bonds for the money down, you know,
that would be one funding mechanism, and there's others. Yep.
Let's see what else I had. Oh, and so I understood that the veterans there, are they going to be then in a TIF also, the veterans building?
The new veterans building will be in a TIF, and those dollars will come out basically to pave that quarter mile that leads between them and the Case IH Training Center.
Okay, that's my point there. So their TAC TIF dollars is going to be a 100% benefit to veterans equipment.
100%.
No. Now that road that goes by there is going to be
The road is going to be $270,000, and that's not anywhere close to
save that whole mile.
No, just the first quarter mile.
First quarter mile.
We're still trying to figure out what we're going to do on connectivity between 30.
If you're paving a quarter mile of it, is it going to end? It's not going to go anywhere other than the veterans and the other building across the road.
For now, yeah.
Now.
Okay, that's my point.
Mm-hmm. That's where it's going, yeah.
Okay. All right. And as far as then taking the money that from the wind turbines that would have been all in Lincoln and Sherman townships, that would have probably reduced our taxes, probably wouldn't have went up on our property taxes also. So, and I would like to say that as far as when you mentioned about the two economic development boards, but I would also like to say that you should be very careful, and I think you're trying to be, but as far as so we don't have any improprieties. I'm sure that you're want to watch out for that. So.
I'll tell you, just for me, I'm a non-voting member on the Nevada Economic Development Commission. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that pretty much covered my points then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Next is Kevin. Is it Nessa?
Nessa.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Kevin Nessa from Zering, Iowa. This is kind of more of a learning thing for me. I'm trying to learn the process. The Dakins Lake project that is going on right now, is it already been funded? Like the project that you're proposing up there, has that already been funded? Has it been funded through TIF money, or I'm just through TIF
through
money?
Through TIF money
and
combination.
Has been approved, and I'll ask Jessica Wynn, to this point. For this calendar year, we had $500,000, and I want to say $300,000 of it went to the TIF planning and mobilization and everything else. And you can expect, I believe, about $2.4 million in cost in the next calendar year to get the project done. Okay. And that is TIF dollars.
Yeah. So is there, like, when this whole the TIF, like when you set up a TIF, like, is there other tax base that's being TIFed other than, like, in the county right now, other than, like, the windmills?
There's the 123 that are all on the eastern side of the county.
Yep.
There's the two that are right here just south of Highway 30.
Okay.
And there's the Vetter Equipment Project. That's the only three that are being TIFed
okay.
in the county at this point.
Okay. So, like when you, as you move forward on writing this policy, then, I mean, did you... How did you? And I'm not disagreeing with what
sure,
you did there,
sure.
But what was the policy beforehand? You said you didn't have any policy for appropriating funds up till now. So how was that particular one done? Was that just done through the supervisors?
Through the supervisors by state code, we had to go through the process of forming an urban renewal zone and then identifying the specific projects that would be TIFed and where those dollars would be used, and then finally we had to certify debt in order to set the baseline. So that was the process up till
okay.
now.
So is that project dependent upon the TIF money being coming out of the windmills? In other words, if we haven't set the policy to do it, like, is that project being held up, or is that moving forward?
Moving forward.
No, it's moving
okay.
forward.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, like, as you move ahead on this policy that you're setting up, as you... come up with the policy that you want to approve, who makes the final decision on what that policy is? Would it be you three, the board?
Or yes. Okay. That's all policy,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess that pretty well covers, I'm just trying to understand the process, I guess.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
And that's this document is supposed to be able to lay out for people what the process is. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's supposed to lay out how projects will be selected, if any, for money spending, and it also lays out how properties... Potential, for example, we've got six new wind turbines in Story County outside of the Colo and Esco School District, but six new turbines, and we want to have a mechanism to have the conversation of should those be included in TIF or not, and we don't, right now, it's just if we want to talk about it, we talk about it, but there's no process that we go through to get it done.
And then again, on that project up there, was there a particular group that came in with a proposal for that project?
Or Dakins Lake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
This has been ongoing with Story County Conservation. A couple years I served as chair of the Conservation Board, and now this year I'm a non-voting member representing the board on that. And this has been a project for a number of years. A former director, Steve Lequa, had close contact with Mrs. Dakin Bernadine, I believe was the name of Bernadette. And this was probably a vision that the family had about leaving a lasting impression and improvement for the community, and the conservation endorsed that 100%. And we went to the National Heritage Foundation, I believe, initially, and they upfunded some dollars for the purchase of the acquisition, some additional land that was needed, knowing full well that the Conservation Board was on the hook to pay back, you know, that over a five-year period. And so that's general tax dollars that are going toward that development up there, but that's flowing through the Conservation Board. And so right now the Conservation Board and new director, Mike Cox, have been working with the architects and so forth. We've laid out a development plan and some changes. We've actually had to amend it a little bit. Our preference is way too costly for us to be able to do what ideally would be in the long-range best interest, but we think
they're coming up with an excellent plan. I believe on the conservation website there is a schematic design and outlay as to what's being proposed or what has been proposed and the work that is ongoing. I know that Mike would welcome the opportunity to visit with any of you citizens in that area, because the more people who are really aware of what's going on, the better. And I know Supervisor Sanders has been up there with a small group of people as they've started to talk a little bit more about the Dakins Lake project and where we're going.
Rick Good actually has the most recent diagram on his bulletin board. If you want to swing by there, you can see exactly what it looks like.
What is the time frame for you guys setting your policy in place? And then with that, are you going to hold up any other projects till that policy is in place? Follow me?
After you're done talking, there will be an opportunity for a vote today to move forward with what is being proposed. And we will decide, and as we say, as time allows, because we have we need to make sure that the policy is there as we receive requests and that we can certify debt by December 1st. All of those things has to occur if we're to do anything in addition to what is currently already out there right now.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else? We certainly don't want to cut off any conversation from folks. Is it very short? Okay, thank you.
Final clarification, just a quick note. Just like the vetter money stays in the area with vetters, and the two wind towers out here, that bike tail projects, bike trail to the country club stays in the area, I think also that these 123 wind towers, that TIF money needs to stay in that area too, hence the article showing that the TIF money should not cross.
Sure. And it is currently. I mean, 100% of those dollars are at Dakins Lake right now.
Right.
That's
a good use of the funds.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Wayne, if I could, just before we get to anything else, I just wanted to point out a couple things. That property taxes and county spending and things like that were mentioned a couple times. I just want to point out why you guys are all here. This board sat down together, the second or third day of January 2011 for the first time. At that point, the county, in non-mental health dollars, monies that we don't spend on mental health, which is a whole different animal, we were budgeting $29.5 million and spending $29.5 million. Last year, we spent about $26 million. While increasing what we spend on roads, while increasing what we spend in economic development, the budget has come down every single year. The levy rate has come down over the 2 years that we've been sitting here. We're the 99th out of 99 counties in terms of having the lowest taxes per capita. We're 99th out of 99 in terms of spending by a county. We work really, really hard, and I think it's at the forefront of all our minds that we're all in this together, and every dollar we spend is coming from each one of us. But where I do, this is one Story County. In my mind, I don't split up Story County into cities. I don't split it up into school districts. I am sworn on this board, and I think all of us are.
All of us are. We're elected
for Story County. And that includes the, 26 by 26 mile area that is Story County, all of it, all the time. And that's what we try to do. So I just wanted to make those points. Sorry to.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. We've heard discussion and so forth. We have the policy. We have the amended version of the policy as stated earlier. Board, I guess my question is, what is your desire in terms of moving forward with the policy as outlined?
I would ask Jessica. I want to make sure that we add Paul's addition of making sure that we directly notify the taxing entities that would be involved in any TIF that we do. Give me a process. I mean, can we add that as we vote? Do we need to put this off another week?
I would advise that we put this off another week and give us a chance to work up a notification section of the policy that can be submitted at next week's meeting for review.
Great. Okay.
And I think the notification, just so everybody's clear, the notification process should probably take place. I would suggest maybe at the, I don't know if we need to do it at the application stage, if we get an application, or do we need to wait and do it during prior to the evaluation stage?
I would suggest the application stage is where it's important. It's because ultimately, any project that we talk about doing, right. we ought to have a crowd like this right. weighing in right. on whether it's a project of value or not. And then ultimately, we've got to make the decision. So, Paul, I would suggest that everything needs to be triggered by the application itself.
Process. Okay.
Yep.
That's how I'll draft the policy then. I think if we notify... applications are due September 1st of each year, so if we receive all the applications and then notify, that gives you the month prior to October 1st for your evaluation period. So that's how I'll draft the policy, and then you can review it next week.
Very good.
Correct. Do I need to move that we defer action to next week with an update
yes.
of the policy? So moved.
Right.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second to defer action for update revision to the policy until next week. Is there further comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Agency reports, none. Departmental reports, none. Liaison assignments, anything?
Thanks, Jessica.
Pass. Okay, thank you. Pass.
Pass.
Other reports. Silos and Smokestack, Candy Welch, Steed, I believe, and also Angie, is she here too? Okay, great. Come on down. Okay. Oh,
Angie, thanks for waiting
Thank
through
you.
That conversation.
Well, we hope it was educational for you.
Hey, as everybody yeah. starts to slip out, thank you very much
thank
for being here.
Thank you very much for being here.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
Being
here. Well, while Angie's handing out stuff, I need to kind of take the blame for getting her here. I'm Leanne.
Yes, you can.
Planning and Development. We had a presentation from Silos and Smokestacks at COSO several years ago, and through the CPAT report, a lot of the discussions with what Silos and Smokestacks could offer to Story County came up, and we, about a couple months ago, reached out to them, and this was the meeting that she could come to.
Outstanding.
So I'm glad that she's here.
We're glad she's here.
Well, thank you so much. I'll make this short and sweet because it's been a long meeting, and it was very interesting, and I wish there would have been high school students here for that discussion because I think they would have learned a lot and benefited from it, along with more community members. So Silos and Smokestacks, you guys all live in a National Heritage Area. Congratulations. And a National Heritage Area is designated by Congress as a special place, and so you guys are living in a special place. This is our visitor guide. There's 110 places to go visit in here. In the very back is a map, and it pulls on out, and you can see what the heritage area is located. And this area was designated by Congress about 15 years ago, and it's Highway 80 and 35, so basically it's that northeast corner of Iowa. So you guys actually live in this area. Our mission and vision is to promote and preserve the story of agriculture in the heritage area. So all the places in this visitor guide should talk about agriculture in some way, and we hope by working together as a region that we're telling a successful story about agriculture and that we're getting new tourists to the state. So the way it impacts Story County is the fact that you live in a National Heritage Area. That's impressive. You can use this to get tourists to come here. You can see on the map who in the area is a member. We just have a recent member to the heritage area, and that's the Museums of Story County and or Story City, and they have their a one-room schoolhouse, and that fits into the heritage area because that's where all of our farmers in the past got their education, and they also have many artifacts in relation to historic agriculture. So we work with farmers, and we work with museums and nature centers, and they all together tell the story of American agriculture, and we market the heritage area nationally to Congress and throughout the Midwest. So we hope that through our marketing skills that you see an influx of tourism to your county, and that we can partner with you to do other things. So in the back of your mind, you should think about anybody that has a good story that would fit well into the heritage area. One of the farm sites that we work with is Hanson's out of Hudson, Iowa, and they're a century farm. Long story short, they were going to close the farm, decided to put a creamery on their farm, are now open for tours, and she sees 4,000 people a year because that's what people want, is they want to see where their food comes from, and they have ice cream and butter and cheese curds there. So we work with farm sites as well to kind of get the word out that Iowa is an awesome place to visit. And there's all these great places that people might not know of. And I'll give one more example before I shut up. But the visitor guide is, the partner sites are alphabetical. And if you look under F, Fossil and Prairie Center, that's a really good example. That's a very small town that's benefiting from working with our county conservation board. It's the Fossil and Prairie Park and Preserve. And they have fossils there. But the reason they have fossils is because they had a brick and tile company there that they made tiles to drain the farmland. And so they're telling that story, and you can also go get fossils there, and you can also learn about the prairie there. So through us, they've gotten many grants in order to tell the farming story, because kids my age and under don't realize that farmland is drained and there's tiles underneath it. So that's what we do in the heritage area. We partner with cities as well. So if you ever feel the need to learn anything more about silos, you can go to silosandsmokestacks.org. You can call our office, and we'll work with you happily. So congratulations on all the effort and work that's done here.
Have you made any contact with the Conservation Board? You know, there are partners groups. There are different gatherings of community folks for different programs. And maybe just being able to present a little bit about what you have to offer. I can see that this would fit right in with a lot of the educational outreach that we do. And they also have programs involving our elementary youth.
Right. And we're open to come to any civic organization or any county and talk about the heritage area. And a lot of our services, and we're funded through the National Park Service, federally funded at this point, all of our services are free of charge. And it's just to benefit these communities. You know, it's helped to develop curriculum. It's helped to develop good marketing strategies, help to just tell a really good story about agriculture and make us the best place we can possibly be. And there are 49 heritage areas in the United States, and this is the only one dedicated to agriculture. And we've done amazing things here.
We need to make sure this is part of our conversation when we meet with the historical societies in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And what do the yellow dots on the map mean?
Yellow dots on the map. Let me see. The yellow dots. Nobody's ever asked me that.
Okay.
I have no idea.
The way my mind works.
I think those are big cities. I think that's supposed to be the city. And then the brown dots are the locations. It's just to help people find things. So that's all I have. Thank you so much for letting us come.
You bet. Thank you. You bet. Okay. All righty. Okay. Moving on. Public comment number two. Item is not on the agenda. Is there anyone that likes to address the board this time? Okay, moving on. Announcements from the supervisors. Mr. Toot?
Pass.
Mr. Sanders? I'm going to pass due to the length of the meeting today, but within a meeting or two, I'd like to give you a little overview report of the meeting that I attended in St. Louis dealing with Regional 7 Health Equity Council, which is a part of the National Partnership for Action. Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska are very much involved in this Regional 7, so I'd like to just share just some of the things that we covered for our future consideration, because we'll be playing a key role as a state in health equity issues, and depending upon what happens with the Affordable Care Act after the first of the year, this could be a very important topic. So I'll defer and bring something to us at a later time.
I'll look forward to it, and I move adjournment.
Second.
Been moved in second.
I'm sorry. Did we get public comment too?
Yes, we did.
Missing it. Okay.
Yeah. So we have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Meeting is adjourned.